Shalom uvracha to all. This is Micha Horowitz with the OU Women's Initiative. This is a recap and a summary of everything that happened in Sefer Shoftim. Parak Aleph, after the death of Yehoshua, the tribe of Yehuda goes to war against the inhabitants of the land in different regions of the land. A number of tribes left the inhabitants of Canaan in their territory. So in other words, Yehuda goes out to war against the inhabitants of the land in the different regions of the land, but there are a number of tribes such as Binyamin, Menashe, Ephraim, Zvulun, and Dan who leave the inhabitants of Canaan in their territories, which is not a good idea and is going to spell trouble. Perek Beis, the prophet warns the Bnei Yisrael not to make a covenant with the Yoshvei Ha'aretz, with the inhabitants of the land. It will be a trap and a snare for you, he says. The people begin to stray and worship Avodah Zarah, which is a major theme of the troubles that befall them in Sefer Shoftim. I should say a major cause for the troubles that befall them in Sefer Shoftim. A judge will come and admonish them. They would repent. After the Shofei dies, they once again stray. There is a cycle of Avodah Zarah, Shofei, Teshuvah, death of the Shofei, and the cycle begins all over again. Perek Gimel, the people worship Baal and Asheros. They are delivered into the hands of the enemies, Aram Naharaim, for 8 years. And now in Perek Gimel, we meet Othniel ben Kenaz. The land is tranquil for 40 years. After he dies, King Eglon of Moab, and the Bnei Ammon and the Amalek take over, and the Bnei shall serve Eglon for 18 years. We then meet Ehud ben Gera. He fights against Eglon. He defeats him. The land is tranquil for 80 years. I want to stress something that I did stress in the Prakim recordings, which is that we forget that there are a lot of periods of tranquility because the Sefer focuses so much on the upheaval in the land. We do forget that there are periods of tranquility, and that is important for us to remember as well. It wasn't always catastrophic during this more than 300 years under the period of Shoftim. Under Ehud ben Gera, I'm still in Perek Gimel, he fights against Eglon, he defeats him, the land is tranquil for 80 years. Then we read about Shamgar ben Anat, who defeats the Pelishtim. Now we come to Perek Dalet. This is the story of Yavin, the king of Canaan, and his tsar tzava, Sisra. They subjugate Israel for 20 years. They meet Devorah HaNeviah. She calls for Barak ben Avinoam. Barak plus Zvulun plus Naphtali go to war against Sisra. Sisra flees the battlefield to the tent of Yael, Ishus Chever Akeni, one of the heroines, of course, of Tanakh. She kills Sisra. Yavin is eliminated. Yavin, the king of Canaan, is eliminated. Perkei is Shiras Devorah. The song of prophetess Devorah after the decisive battle and the defeat of Sisra. Perek Vav. Israel is subjugated to Midian for 7 years. They cry out. Hashem sends a prophet named Gideon. An angel appears to him to appoint him. Gideon gathers the men of Menashe, Asher, Zvulun, Naphtali. At the end of the parak, we have the miracle of the fleece, the grain, the dew, to prove that he will save Israel as a messenger of Hashem. Perek Zion, with a small army, Gideon defeats Midian. Perek Ches, Gideon and his men are tired. They are by the east of the Yarden, and the men of Sukkos refuse to feed the troops. The men of Penuel also refuse to feed Gideon and his troops. Upon victory, Gideon punishes the inhabitants of Sukkos and the inhabitants of Penuel. There is 40 years of tranquility under Gideon. Important to remember that. After Gideon dies, they stray after Avodah Zarah. Perek Tes, Avimelech is one of the sons of Gideon, the son of Gideon, and a concubine from Shechem. He takes power. He wants to be king. He shockingly kills his 70 brothers. One brother, Yotam, escapes. Yotam addresses the people of Shechem and war breaks out. Ultimately, the people kill Avimelech, who wanted to be king. Avimelech, after his father. Avi, my father, Gideon Melech, he wants to be king. He is ultimately punished by God for what he did to his father. He killed his 70 brothers. At the end of the narrative, he, Avimelech, is killed. Perek Yud, we are told about some lesser Shoftim that we don't know much about. Tola ben Pua, who is a judge for 23 years. Yair Hagiladi, who is a judge for 22 years. We are then told them in Perek Yud, the people worship idols, and they are delivered into the hands of the Plishtim and Ammon for 18 years. They cry out to Hashem. Parag Yud Aleph, we meet Yiftach HaGiladi. He goes to war against Ammon and is victorious. Yiftach returns to Mitzpah triumphant. Shockingly, tragically, his only daughter comes out to meet him. He fulfills his tragic vow to offer the first thing that crosses the threshold of his home to Hashem. Parag Yud Bet, chapter 12, Ephraim comes to Yiftach because he did not mobilize them to battle against Ammon. I'm sorry, Ephraim comes to Yiftach because why did you not mobilize us to battle when you went to battle against Ammon? Yiftach and the men of Gilead go to war against Ephraim. 42,000 men from Ephraim fall in this battle. Yiftach dies. We are then told about three lesser shoftim, Ivtson Mibes Lachem, Elon Hazivuloni, and Avdon Ben Hilal. Parak Yud Gimel, a new enemy, Plishtim from the west. So until now, most of the enemies have been from the east. Now the Plishtim from the west, they conquer Israel. They rule for 40 years. We learn of in Parak Yud Gimel, the miraculous birth of Shimshon to Manoach and his wife. Parak Yud Dalid. Shimshon protects Israel in an unconventional fashion on his own, without an army, through unconventional means. We are told that he kills a lion. A year later, he finds the carcass of the lion with a swarm of bees and honey inside. We are told that he marries a Plishti woman. He proposes a riddle at the wedding feast that no one can solve. So they ask his wife, find out the answer. She pesters him until finally he reveals the answer to her. His wife goes with one of his groomsmen. Ultimately, the wife, I guess you could say, leaves him and goes with one of the groomsmen. Parak Tasvav. Shimshon goes to see his wife after a year, but he finds out she's married to someone else. The Plishtim, after the story with the foxes and the torches and the tail, if you remember, Perek Tesvav, like we learned, the Plishtim burn the wife and her father, thinking this is what Shimshon wanted for the disloyalty of the father and the wife, that she went to someone else. And in retaliation, Shimshon then kills many Plishtim. So everything about Shimshon's life was with the aim of trying to defeat or quell the power of the Plishtim. So his actions look questionable, but what he is doing is sacrificing his own life to save the Bnei Yisrael from the hands of Plishtim. And he understands and knows that they cannot take revenge against the tribes of Israel because he is just one individual. He is superhuman strength. He is a Nazir from the time of his birth. He then kills many Plishtim. Parak Tes Zion, chapter 16, Shimshon goes to Gaza. He lays with a harlot. He takes the doors of the city back with him to Hebron. Chapter 16 continues. He falls in love with Delilah. She convinces him to reveal to her the source of his strength. After some false answers, he says, if they shave me, I will be weak. I am a Nazir since my mother's womb. She calls the governors of Plishtim while Shimshon is asleep on her knees. His hair is shaved. They gouge out his eyes. They bind him with shackles. They take him to Gaza. In a great victory, with celebrations and offerings to Avodah Zarah for the victory over conquering Shimshon, in a house, in a stadium, in a palace that is packed with people, they put him in his chains between two pillars. It's a victory over Shimshon, and Shimshon asks God for strength one more time. And as he crushes these pillars, the building collapses. He puts to death in his death more than he ever put to death in his life, including the important people and the officers and the governors of the Plishtim. We are told that Shimshon judged for 20 years. Parak Yud Zion. Micha's mother has an Avodah Zarah made by a silversmith. Micha establishes a shrine to the Avodah Zarah. He makes one of his sons a priest to the Avodah Zarah. But one day, a Levi from Beis Lechem comes upon the shrine. Micha is so excited. A Levi, the tribe of Kohanim, he makes this man the priest. In other words, to the house of Avodah Zarah. Chapter 18, Perek Yud Ches. Dan, a tribe of Dan, is seeking new territory. They send five men to spy out the land. They came to the highlands of Ephraim, to the house of Micha. They meet none other than the priest. The priest tells them in the name of God that they will be successful. They spy out Laish. They go back to the tribe of Dan and they say, we can go up, we will conquer Laish. On their way back to Laish to conquer the land, they go back to the house of Micha. They steal the Avodah Zarah and all its accompaniments, the ephod, the apron, the trophim, and the Avodah Zarah, all different kinds of Avodah Zarah that was in this house. It was a shrine to Avodah Zarah. The priest goes with them. They say, is it better to be a priest to the house of one man or to be a priest for the tribes of Israel? Micha tries to stop them, but he is powerless. Avodah Zarah is a central focus in the settlement of the tribe of Dan in Laish. The priest Menashe and his son served for hundreds of years as a priest to this Avodah Zarah on the shrine to the exile by the Assyrians. Harak Yudtas through Chaf Aleph. I should say Prakim Yudtas through Chaf Aleph, actually. This is the tragic story by which Sefer Shoftim ends the Pilegesh Bagiva, which I know disturbs all of us, especially having prepared and studied and learned this together after Rachmana Litzlan, October the 7th. May God have mercy on us immediately, Bekarov. That is a Pilegesh Bagiva, the subsequent war against the tribe of Binyamin. Perak Yudtas. A man from the tribe of Ephraim takes a pilegesh from Beis Lechem Yehuda. She strays. He goes to bring her back with some gifts, some animals. After a few days with his father-in-law, some negotiation of stay a little more, stay a little more, stay a little more, says the father-in-law. Finally, he sets out. He doesn't want to stay anymore. And he reaches the city of Giva in the region of Binyamin. If you remember, he says he doesn't want to stay in a non-Jewish city. We're going to journey till we get to Giva. It will be safer for us. An elderly man takes in the traveling party. The wicked people of the city surround the house. They want the man for homosexual relations. However, the young man takes his pilegesh and gives her out. They rape her all night. In the morning, the man finds his pilegesh dead at the threshold of the home. He loads her lifeless body onto his donkey, goes home. He cuts her up. It's very, very difficult, obviously. He sends a piece to each tribe to show what happened, the travesty that was committed by the people of Binyamin. Parachof. There is a civil war, a massive civil war, a war of all the tribes against Binyamin. Tens of thousands of losses on both sides. Ultimately, there are only 600 survivors of Binyamin. They fled to the rock of Rimon, Parachof Aleph, after an oath that no one would give wives to Binyamin's survivors. The tribes regret and reconsider. They orchestrate a solution. And the final pasuk of the whole Sefer pretty much sums up how things could be so lawless, so godless at times, and so difficult. It is a theme that is told to us no less than four times in the closing chapters of Sefer Shoftim. The final pasuk is Perachof al pasuk of Hey, Bayamim Haheim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Yisha Yashar Be'inav Ya'aseh. You want to know how things became so bad? You want to know how such travesties were committed, how there was civil war and infighting and such idol worship? And ultimately, the book ends with two terrible stories, the Pasal Micha, which becomes Pasal Dan, and the Pilegesh Bagiva, Bayamim Ahim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. In those days, there was no king. There was no central leadership. There was no one to guide the people. Ish HaYashar Be'einav Yaseh. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And we all live with a Yetzer Hara. If a person's alive, he has a Yetzer Hara. And when a person does not live with the leadership of a Torah leader, he does not live according to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from him. But Ish HaYashar Be'einav Yaseh, every person decides on his own what is right and what is wrong. The most base instincts in man, the Nefesh HaBehami, the animalistic instincts in man, ultimately will take over if we do not constantly reinforce the values of Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim in our lives. And no one should think they are immune if such a situation could happen in a biblical time period. We have to be constantly on guard and constantly seeking out the teachings, the guidance, the advice of Torah, of our teachers and our leaders, so that we are always sure we go according to Torah law. And then, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will turn around the great sadness of Ein Melech B'Yisrael. We will zocha to see David Melech Hashem. Chai v'kayam, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we will be zocha to see the ultimate return, the Shivat Zion, with Shalom, Menucha, and Geula for all of Yisrael. Thank you so much for journeying with me through Sefer Shoftim. It's always a tremendous chus to learn with you. I hope that this recap and summary was helpful for all of you, and I wish everyone much hatzlacha going forward in all of your limudim. Kol tov, and thank you to all.